Did we have a handout? Then also, this sounds really bad. So if you can get this, I can't hear myself. If you could fix that. Okay, we are back in Psalm chapter number 119, and we're finishing up over the next few weeks. We're looking at the psalm that talks the most about the Bible, and we've just been going through it as we're finishing up and looking at some of the key verses in there and the truths that we learn from them. Two weeks ago, we spoke that the 2 points we had to do with influence, those we hang around with. We said, number 8, surround yourself with those who are committed to God's word. We looked at that, and then we gave you the flip side of it, which is, you guys didn't pass those out. Go ahead, pass those out. That's fine. We'll get them out to you. And then we said, number 9, avoid those who live contrary to the word. Okay, we're going to start with number 10 here as they're passing them out. Number 10, this is just common sense. True obedience is immediate and not delayed. True obedience is immediate and not delayed. Look at verse 60. It says, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Now, that's not keep as in to hold on to them. That's keep as in obey them, to follow them. He uses two key phrases there. The first one is make haste. Make haste means to hurry, to act quickly with enjoyment and excitement. Okay? That's like hurrying somewhere, getting to somewhere. You think of it as getting to somewhere you want to be because you're excited to be there, and you know you're going to enjoy it once you get there. That's the kind of spirit we ought to have towards obedience to the Word of God. We'll look at that more in a few minutes. And delay not to keep thy commandments. Delay not means don't question, hesitate, or be reluctant. Don't wait or delay. And so what the Bible is telling us here is just obey what God says right away. Have you ever noticed how people will have a pep in their step when they're off doing something that they want to do? Here's a person that's not a morning person. But if they like to fish, the fish bite best early in the morning. And so it's time for the fishing trip. That person that has trouble getting to Sunday school at 9:30 in the morning will be up at 5 in the morning to go fishing, and it's not even a problem. Why? It's something they like to do. You see, the guy you work with, they walk around at work in a daze like they're zombies. But man, when it gets to half an hour, 15 minutes, 10 minutes before it's time to clock out and go home, they walk a little faster. Okay, why? Because they're excited about what they're going to be doing. You know, you ask your kids, we have a lot of grandkids, they're at the house, and we teach them they don't do this, but you know, it's like, hey, look, come here. Sometimes, most of the time they'll come, but sometimes when they're little, you ever tell them, hey, come here for a minute, and they just look at you? That doesn't go very well. Okay, but whenever, if you had a kid and you said, hey, I got candy, come on over here, I'll give you a piece of candy, they'll probably be motivated to show up right away. Now, cats, they're a total waste of time. You can't get them to do anything. By the way, that's one reason I wouldn't want to be a Jehovah's Witness. I'm not trying to be mean, but when I'm out on Saturdays, how many of you ever seen them out there? By the way, and I'm not being cruel, I'm not being offensive in any way, but they don't walk very fast. Yeah. They're very slow. And I'm going to tell you why. It's because when they go to the door, they really don't have anything to tell people. If you have to go to their door and your motivation is to tell them they have to kind of start working their way towards heaven, that's not a really good message. That's why when we go soul winning, we're excited to go to the door because we know there's an end game. You could right now find out that you're going to heaven. That's something to be excited about. But the problem is, the thing is, it's all a matter of our motivation level. What motivates us? How are we motivated? Motivation is based basically on our wants and desires. What do we like to do? What do we really want? What is important to us? Sadly, I think this may be in your notes, most people's motivation level when it comes to obedience to God's word lacks diligence. You know, we have a sloppy type of Christianity. And I think it's because we as Christians have a flawed view of God's word. I think we've allowed so much of what's in this world to kind of rattle around in our minds that we don't see what God says and how God wants us to live as being something that is better than that. And so we struggle. We kind of drag our feet. Now, we'll try to spiritualize it away. You can always find some, you can check the internet, check the radio, you can find some liberal that'll tell you it's okay to do whatever you want. You know, that all God is concerned about, you know, is your salvation, and then anything else outside of that, if someone encourages you to obey the Bible, and you already know what the concept is, that's legalism, and of course, we understand that that is not legalism. If you wanted to give it a name, I would call it common sense. But you can find people that'll tell you what you want to hear. But the question is, do we want to hear what we want to hear, or are we dedicated to the truth? Look at 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. He says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. And he's telling Timothy this. Be instant in season, out of season. Now, preaching the word involves several things. Reprove, rebuke, then the positives here, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Now, he's telling Timothy the things he's supposed to say. You've got to tell the truth. Now, sometimes the truth is what we would say is positive. Now, I think it's all positive in a sense, but, you know, it's the positive. It's the encouraging. It's the pat on the back type of thing and doing the right thing. The other times, it's not the pat on the back. It's a kick in the rear. It's like, hey, you're going the wrong direction. Now, what's the result? Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. By the way, let me say, we are there. The majority of what we would consider evangelical Christian churches don't endure sound doctrine. It's all about church growth. Now, by the way, I'm for growing the church. If it's good to have 10 people saved, isn't it better to have 100 people saved? Amen. If it's good to have 10 people in church, is it better to have 100 people in church? So you develop an army of people that'll go out and reach the gospel. But what we have done, we have made that the end game. You know, getting a bunch of people to church. And we will cut out anything that would keep people. And a lot of it is doctrine now. One of the biggest churches outside of Joel Osteen's, Brother Joel, is a church in Atlanta, pastored by a man named Andy Stanley. His dad pastored a huge church also in the Atlanta area. I think he still may. I remember, now they were Southern Baptists, but I remember when we were living in Florida, we went to Disney World, and his church, their youth group was singing at Disneyland, and they were very conservative at that time. They're not anymore. But this guy went and starts his church, and it's huge. Brother Ross sent me an article, and I've heard him say this before, by the way. I've read that he said this before. He wrote an article, and they published it in a secular magazine, I think Fox News. What are we doing to keep people from coming to church? Here was his number one thing. We keep people from coming to church when we tell them that the Bible is the basis for our faith. Excuse me? Yeah, And he thought this was a wonderful revelation. Now, he tried to make it sound cute. He said the Bible isn't the basis for our faith. Our faith is about Jesus. Now, isn't that cute? But let me ask you a question. What Jesus? The Jesus of the History Channel? How do I know what's Jesus? Well, I'm going to tell you how I know what's Jesus. Are you ready? He said that we sing the song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And he said, that's the problem. Well, let me explain something to him. He is dead wrong. If we don't have the truth in Scripture, we've got nothing to give. And then he slammed the Old Testament. He doesn't like the Old Testament. Now, can I tell you something? That's going on and on and on and on. You know why? Because, and why do people, why are they going to go there? Because people have itching ears. That sounds sweet. And so you can get a person that comes to church, and you give them some feet thing, and they'll keep coming. Now, but thank God, people can come if you teach them the truth. I think you understand that around here. Because, but there are some people, they'll come as long as you tell them what they want to hear. But the second they hear something they don't like, they won't come. They have itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, verse 4, and shall be turned unto fables. Now, I'm getting to the point of obedience, but this is all part of it. Now, one thing we have to be careful for when it comes to this itching ears thing, we have to understand, and I don't go, you understand this, there's a lot of what I would consider false Bibles. We here use the King James Bible. The King James Bible was translated many years ago from the proper old documents. All the new Bibles that have come out have been corrupted primarily by two documents that were found later on, much later on, and came from Alexandria, which was a hotbed of false doctrine. By the way, say the Bible says that we are in Corinthians. We are not of many that corrupt the word of God. The Bible was being corrupted back in the Bible days when it was being written. I could take any non-King James Bible and teach almost any doctrine from it. It's devoid of any truth. Now, you could go to those Bibles and you cannot prove homosexuality is true anymore. By the way, that is false. That is wrong. By the way, that's why many of the evangelical churches are accepting that in now. Not saying that we love the homosexuals, we want to share the gospel, not that, but that it's okay. We celebrate that. So there's a lot. People don't want the truth. That's the point. And we're willing to go to any lengths to get away from it. The ugly truth is most Christians don't want to be instantly obedient to the Bible. And I hope that's not your heart. I hope your heart is, Lord, when I hear something from your word, when I'm reading your word, when I'm learning a truth, Lord, my heart is I want to be able to obey it and just make that a part of my life. Now, before we leave this point and get to our next one, let me give you a few concluding thoughts. I think they're in there. Obedience to the word, as we mentioned earlier, should be instant. Okay, it should be instant. If it's just something we know that God says, why don't we just say, you know what, I'm just going to do it. If God said it, I'm in on it. You know, what is the bumper sticker or the God said it, I believe it, that settles it. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if you were to take out the I believe part, and you know, God said it, that does settle it, period, anyhow. But for us personally, we ought to say, God did say it, so I believe that, so that does settle it for me. Okay? And it just should be instant. Now, does that mean we're going to be perfect? No. But that ought to be the direction we're trying to head. That ought to be the desire of our heart to say, Lord, I want to do what I'm supposed to do right away. Obedience to the word should be enjoyed. Enjoyed. See, we see the Bible as a joy killer. We see God's truth as taking away joy from us. That's probably Satan's greatest lie. Well, I just it's in the Bible. I'm just gonna do what God says, even though I'm gonna miss. You're not missing out on anything. The older I get, and I'll be 30 next year. Don't be arguing with Pastor Esposito. Him and I agree. But the older I get, the more I see friends and people that maybe came to church many years ago and have stopped, and I see that they chose a different type of lifestyle. The more I look at it, the more I'm thankful that I stayed with what the Bible says. It's just, the more you hear the stories, the more you reach out to them, the more you see what's going on, it's like, you know what? Thank God. I just stuck with what God said. Why? Because it's just a better life. I don't feel like, because I've tried to serve God since I was 17, I don't feel like I've missed out on anything. You know, really, I don't. You know, when I was in college and I was younger, we would be out on our bus routes. We were a little bit crazy, probably a little bit too crazy. We'd be on our bus routes from 10 in the morning till like 9 at night. And this is Saturday. And, you know, we were young kids, and we weren't in the best areas. And we'd be out there visiting, and you'd see the people going to party our age and stuff. And it's like, what are you guys doing? You know, we're trying to get people to church on a bus. You know, I guess we had to stay out till 9 at night because we were trying to get them to go 45 miles on a bus out of state. So it was a little bit harder sell, right? But it's like, you know, you're young. You guys should be out. We didn't miss anything. I don't feel like I've missed out on anything. Because the Bible's a good thing. And sometimes it's just a mindset we need to have. Remember, there was a guy, when I worked at the warehouse, there was another Christian guy I worked with, and said he was trying to witness to a guy, actually. And the guy goes, I don't want to have anything to do with that God stuff. I'm just going to live my own life and do my own thing. And the guy told him this. He said, well, I'll tell you what. If you're going to be a pagan, be the best pagan you can. Because that's all you're going to have in this life, so you might as well enjoy this life as much as you can, because when you die, it's over. And I think I said, that's bad. That's bad, because if you live like a pagan, that's not a good life. So now, not only is this life a misery, the next life is horrific. So that whole concept, it's enjoyable to do what God says. Next, obedience to the word should be unquestioned. Unquestioned. What's the bumper sticker? It's not as popular anymore. Question authority. I'm not saying you just follow someone blindly into a wall, but that's, authority is looked down upon. And what happens is we bring that into our Christianity. By the way, do you know everybody needs authority in their life? When you are children, you need parents. And that's why parents, you ought to be parents. Don't let a little 3-year-old run you around. And then you come to school, and the children need to learn at school there's an authority, and you followed it. I've mentioned before, my third grade teacher, Mr. Selznick, he'd be in jail today. Although that was only, if I'm 29, that was only 20 years ago. But right over here, the Dominguez, over on Santa Fe, there's a little walkway over there. I think it used to be Dominguez Grade School. And listen, he swatted us in front of everybody. Everybody. Hard. With a yardstick. One time the yardstick broke and I was up in line to get a swat. And I thought, praise God, it broke. There's nothing he can do now. He grabbed a ruler and slapped me on the back of my hand. I was hoping for the yardstick. Can I just tell you something? If I would have went home and complained, now at that time my mom would work, so I'd go home straight to my grandparents. My grandparents would have said, good, he got you, you're next. You're going to get it from us too. You know, they just kind of taught us that authority should be listened to. Can I just tell you something? When Mr. Selznick taught, people listened. There wasn't, like, when he said sit up straight, it's like, is this straight enough? I mean, am I leaning? Okay, maybe it was a little bit, but we like to question authority. But here's what happens. Our whole life we're trained that way, and then we come into Christianity and we believe in God, we believe in Jesus Christ, we believe that we're Christians and that we're saved, and yet we start questioning whether or not it really is something we should do to obey God. Let's just do what he says. It's very clear. You say, well, I'm not sure about a few things. Well, you know what? Start with the things you are clear about. There's plenty of those. God's commands are to be instantly obeyed unquestioningly. W.C. Fields, an old entertainer and film star from many, many years ago, he was kind of foul-mouthed, and he was not a Christian by any stretch of the imagination, and he was not religious, and his friends all knew that. He was sick of the illness of which he would eventually die. He's in bed, and he asked one of his friends to bring him a Bible. And he got a Bible, and he was going through it and turning the pages, and someone came in and said, wait a minute, you're not religious. What are you doing in the Bible? He jokingly said, I'm looking for loopholes. Can I tell you something? There are no loopholes. Okay? God just kind of expects that we ought to do what we ought to do. Next, obedience to the word should be decisive. Decisive. Now, what do I mean by that? We ought to come to the point in our lives where we just say, this is who I am. This is what I'm going to do. And you're not going to push me off of it. You know the frustration? Frustration is that too many Christians are up and down. You see, one week they are going to be the spiritually great people of the world. They're going to be a missionary to Antarctica, even though nobody lives there. They are in. And then 2 weeks later, have you seen so-and-so? I mean, and we're comfortable in that. Why don't we just be decisive and say, you know what? If this is who I am and this is what I'm going to be, why don't I just stay with it? By the way, there's always going to come things that come your way. But listen, the truth is the truth. And the Bible is the word of God. So why don't we just say, I am in, and you're not going to push me off of that. Too many people do. I like Daniel. Daniel, who was in his country, and he was a young man, and he was taken captive, and he was brought to Babylon. And he knew that there was going to be some pressures and some things he faced. I mean, they tried to retrain him in every way. They changed their name. They took Daniel, Azariah, Mishael, and Azariah, their original names, and they changed them. We know the three guys as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. All of their names were changed, and Daniel's name was changed, and I forget what it is because we don't use it very much. But all of their names were changed to something that praised the false gods. And so their names are changed to try to push them. They're getting this training. And then they were pushed to violate some of their beliefs. And I like what Daniel said, what it says in Daniel chapter 1. It's either 8 or 10. But Daniel what? Purposed in his heart he would not defile himself. He knew it was coming. And so what he did ahead of time is he goes, I've already decided that when it comes, I've already decided ahead of time that I'm just going to do what's right. See, so it wasn't when they came and said, you got to change your diet, and this diet is against the laws of your God. Daniel didn't say, let me think about this. You know, is there a way? By the way, there was a lot of other Hebrew guys that had been brought in, but only four of them stood. And Daniel was like, I don't need to think about this decision. Because there was a time, a long time ago, that I already decided that I will do the right thing. And nothing is going to push me off of that position. See, too many of us, an opportunity comes to do something that's wrong, that we know violates the scripture we say we believe and we say we're dedicated to, and we sit there and think about it like, what's there to think about? If you've already made that decision, I will follow the scripture, it's just easy to say no. Your boss comes and says, listen, I need you to do this and lie for me. Now, I wouldn't say a straight no. I'd say, I can't do that because I'm a Christian and I'm not going to lie for you. I just can't do that. I want to be a good employee, but the only thing that makes me a good employee is being a good Christian. I can't lie. I'm not doing that. Most people will violate their principles for that. You know, you want to do the right, and you, so let's be decisive. Hey, you know what? I'm in. And if God says it, I'm in on it, and I'm not going to be pushed back. And then lastly, and then we'll stop with this point for tonight, obedience to the word should be inclusive. Now, I know that word inclusive is really in our, let's be inclusive. Okay, what does that mean? That means that it's okay for everybody what they believe to come, and all of our beliefs are just as valid as one another. Okay, we're inclusive. I think the gospel's for everyone. Amen? But what do I mean by inclusive? Let's not have, I call it cafeteria Christianity. You know, buffet Christianity. You get your plate. Yeah, all summer long we went to buffets on Monday nights with the whole church family. Thank you for that. And you go and it's like, I like that. Boom. You know, when we went to the place in Cerritos, Brother Ross, casino-style buffet, or Las Vegas-style buffet. I have no idea what that meant, but I lost $20. What was it? It's an Asian. And you know Asians, you know what kind of food they have? Okay, thank you, Brother Ross. You're brilliant. Seafood. Now, seafood is of the devil. Okay, I have searched the scriptures, and I can't find it, but I'm looking for it. My wife and I agree on only one thing in life. We hate seafood together, okay? That's why we've stayed married for so long. But I get the plate, and I go there. It's like, this food's good. That food's good. Hey, the guy over there is cooking the food with the noodles, and you give him the meat, and you have a really good time. Guess what area I totally bypass? Seafood. Why? I don't want it. It doesn't resonate with me. You know what most people do with the Bible? They get their little buffet plate, and they walk by and like, oh, God says that? No, I don't want that. No, that's not for me. Can I just tell you something? It's not our choice. It's all good for us. And we can't just say, God, no, in that area. Now, you may say no in that area and obey him in other areas, but eventually it's going to start to seep into those other. You know, we talk about, and I'm done, reaching unashamedly. Like, I'll do everything. I'll even tithe. Good. Okay, let's stop there. But I am not talking to anybody about the gospel. You don't have I'm just telling you, you don't have an option. Because the Bible tells us that's what we're supposed to do. So we ought to learn to do it. And that's the same of everything in the Bible. Let's just say, Lord, I may struggle in some things and I may not quite understand it, but if I see it in the Bible, I'm in. I'm in. Let's pray.